Okay, let's come to 65. You know, Brother Lee is a surgeon. And he does sometimes serious surgeries like cancer, right? So go in there and really to excise the tumor and all that. And sometimes he does corrective surgeries. And other times he does sort of, what do you call it, investigative examining surgery. Exploratory surgery, just to go in there and just to make sure that little bleeding is not a big problem, you know. And so whatever it may be, brothers, I feel this is most healthy. It's almost like an annual checkup that I have to do, you know, for one of my organs. Every year, I just have to go and do a checkup. This is called preventive medicine. And so we may not have problems today, but brothers, the germs are there, and these sicknesses are there. And so just let this be an exploratory procedure this morning. Okay, now we come to something that is very, very relevant along the same line. And this is after the, based on the word given by our brother, after the late 80s turmoil there in Anaheim. And this word is a particular message. This whole thing is just one message given to the elders and co-workers that I could never forget. Another one of those classic word that he gave that what one cannot forget. So the problems of pride, number one, the thought of being a hero, number two, and opinion, number three. And as you will see, each of these problems is particularly ascribed to a certain age group of brothers. You may say this word is a very age-appropriate word, all these three things. So let us start. And I think it is good for us to still read that one verse that is referenced here. Maybe I will just read it in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. In the midst of Paul's listing of the various qualifications of an elder, which we have covered last year, he had this insert. Verse 6, not a new convert, lest being blinded with pride, he fall into the judgment suffered by the devil. So here, when Paul was discussing the matter of the virtues or the qualification, if you will, of an elder, he had this word to say. He say a new convert, that means a new believer, should not be an elder, period. Because he would be blinded with pride. And that word blinded, if you read the footnote, means be clouded with smoke. You know, there's this smoke or fog called pride that will cause him to lose visibility, for him to lose sight, for him to lose any kind of judgment. His judgment will be compromised by this fog of pride. And as a result, he will fall into the judgment that is suffered by the devil. You know that what this refers to. This refers to Lucifer. that archangel who one day somehow had pride in his heart and said, I will ascend to the throne. I will displace God and I will be the Most High. So as a result, he suffered the judgment, the devil. And this is a warning that we will not fall into the same judgment for a new convert to become an elder so quickly. All right, now let's go on. Romans 1, there is a problem of pride with the young ones. So this is a word for the young ones. I like those of you who are young in this room. When I say young, I'm going to say you are in your 30s, 20s, 30s. Just roughly, I'm going to say that. And especially, I would like to like the brothers who have been newly appointed to the eldership to pay attention to this. This word is for you. All right? This word is for you. A, Paul's charge to us is that the new hands should be considered carefully before being brought into the realm, the circle of eldership. I'm always very concerned whether in the process of appointing new elders that we have, whether we have thoroughly considered everything. There's still a lot of echo, brothers. I don't know whether you can hear it or not. Anyway, new hands. So brothers, whether you are a appointed elder or you are a learner included in the elders' fellowship, as a new hand, you should be very careful. Now, we may not have been that careful in your appointment, but you have to bear some responsibility now that you have been appointed to be very careful. You have to exercise. Don't say, well, they appointed me. They didn't know I have this problem. Well, you cannot say that. You have to bear the responsibility to be careful. Okay, one, in 1 Timothy 3:6, Paul says that an overseer should not be a novice or a new convert. I mentioned that already. Never bring a brother who is young in the Lord into the eldership. I know there's some places they're desperate for brothers. There's no one but some young, really young ones. Well, you better just wait. You better endure a little bit because it is not safe. You may slowly coach them or perfect them or shepherd them to help you to serve, but don't be so quick to appoint or recommend them to be appointed as an overseer. On the other hand, there need to be learners in eldership. We encourage this. Learners. Brothers who are not yet elders, not yet appointed, but they're involved in the function of the eldership. This, as a learner, there's a great need for that. I'm for this. I wouldn't say the more the better, because it's not a matter of numbers. But in another way, I like to see more brothers who have demonstrated the heart, the aspiration, and also a potential to be useful to the Lord in this way, to give them a chance to learn. And there's too much to learn, as you can tell from these 2 years of training. Number three, learning spiritual things may be likened to learning a language. It is easier for a young person to learn a new language. In principle, we should bring in the younger ones. I'm not saying we shouldn't bring in the older ones. But in principle, we should. The need is to bring in the younger ones. And the Lord knows these 2 years. Parallel to this training, we are very, very exercised, and we're not done yet. in many churches, to help the churches to include younger brothers, whether they're appointed elders or not, that's secondary, but just younger brothers, because the younger they are, the more they can learn. They have the energy, they have the capacity. Let's have them learn. You know, I am this kind of a person. I'm just open. What we're doing here in Northern California is a renewal. Amen. I have not forgotten that burden. It is to renew the church even in the way of age, to bring in the new blood. We're looking forward to the next 30 years, and I don't think I will be here, all right? Then we have to do everything as early as we can while we're here to have these brothers to learn and pick up things, because we're talking about an extremely serious business here. It's called taking the Lord's recovery onwards. So you sit there year after year, you're still the elder, a good one, but you have no one you have raised up, or you just raise up one when there's a need for 20. You have delayed the Lord, and that's serious business. Or you are sitting there not allowing them to function or come in. I will cover that in the matter of opinion, you know, when we get to the third problem with the older brothers, the older elders more specifically. But anyway, I'm not here to beat my drum here, but intrinsically, my brothers, everywhere in the Lord's recovery, we need to raise up the younger generation. Amen. Otherwise, we're a ostrich with our head in the sand. It's easier for a young person to learn, even a new language. You know, little kids, they can pick up three languages easy, except over in this country, it's still basically just one language at the most, two. Actually, they can pick up three. In Europe, it's done all the time. In Switzerland, you have to speak three. You know, English, German, Italian, French, four. And they can do it just like this. For you to pick up another language, or for me, forget about it. Forget it. We've long passed those days. And so let's give them the opportunity, brothers. Don't be afraid. Oh, they may not turn out to be good. Well, how about you? Right? So in this sense, number four, it is very good to have young ones in the eldership. However, we need to warn the young ones. You see, this is what I'm doing here. On the one hand, we give the opportunity for the sake of the Lord's interest. On the other hand, you need the warning. You absolutely need the warning. And I thank God when I started out to take the lead, Brother Lee was still here. And just fellowship after fellowship, training after training, the words of warning is always there. And looking back, I tell you, the words of warning helped me more than anything else, because they preserved me. Okay, we'll see more about this. Okay. When you're young, the problem is your pride. That's the problem. On the one hand, your capacity is there, your energy is there, but you've got a problem. It's called pride. It is hard for the young people to avoid pride, especially with a new one, a young one. It's hard. Basically, there's no one who's not prideful. No such human being exists normally. One, in the past, the Lord brought in some brilliant young ones among us. This is Brother Lee's word, brilliant. However, about 80%, now listen to this, listen to this. I don't think he's exaggerating. 80% of these were spoiled by their pride. Thus, we are short of hands today. If these ones are not spoiled, today he's saying we will have fivefold leadership than what we have. Now think about that just for a moment. And look back in your own history. Isn't that the truth? Maybe whether it's 80% or 60%, a lot have been ruined due to their pride, due to their ambition. They're good material. They are really even, I would say, the right material in terms of their capacity and gift, but they're spoiled by pride. So we're short today. We have what I call ambition attrition. Because the recovery is real and rich in truth, the entire world is open to the recovery. But where are the proper brothers among us? You see, we know, you know, GTCA, this and that. In the end, what makes it sustainable is the leadership. Migration, same thing. The shortage is in leadership, trained leadership. If we have more brothers who are trained, the Lord's recovery can spread a lot quicker, automatically. Brothers, we need more young brothers that are what? Not just promising, listen to me, but they are proper. We need more proper brothers. I just love this word, proper. They're not Superman. They're not super gifted. They're just proper and yet trained and learned. I wish we can have hundreds of these ones. We can just take over this country. We can take over Northern California in short order, not taking years and years, in short order. But where are the brothers? We need more brothers. We need more young brothers. But where are they, Brother Lee sighed. Three, throughout the years, we have had many promising young ones, many crops, you know, generation after generation. But when they were growing up, they got cut off by their pride. Just like chopped off. Before the fruit was born, before they were mature, they got chopped off, cut off. By what? By pride. It's sort of a self-inflicted wound, but fatal nevertheless. Pride. Young brothers, pride will kill you. Pride will ruin you. Pride will damage you. And it has done so with too many, even in the realm of the Lord's recovery. Let's listen to what Brother Nee said in C. Brother Nee warned us that many pieces of pottery will be broken in the process of finishing the pottery. There are more broken pots than finished pots in the process. The ones who have been involved in the 1980s turmoil, that's the recent late 80s turmoil he was referring to, have been spoiled like this broken pottery. But you know what? Brother Lee was speaking post-turmoil. Meaning what? Meaning he's already seeing signs. And some of you may know what I'm talking about. In the early 90s, this is before he passed away, he was already seeing signs after the huge big turmoil of similar things. And came to pass, especially after he passed away. These ones could have been very useful, but their potential usefulness has been spoiled. Now, you can be very useful. You have a certain usefulness, but that usefulness usefulness can be spoiled. And there's nothing that is more heartbreaking to me than to see a young brother full of potential. You just love such a one because for the Lord's need, you know. But to see them misled, misguided, and deceived, and fall on their own sword, so to speak, of pride and ambition, and got ruined. That's always heartbreaking. And that happened to Brother Lee himself too many times. So he spoke this with a lot of feeling, by the way. I want to tell you this. Two, at the beginning of their church life, of these new ones in the recovery, they were quite humble and poor in spirit because they know nothing. They were under the ministry to be taught, nourished, and raised up. Then they really learned, three, they really learned something, right? They learn. And they had a certain capacity from the Lord by his mercy. This is all true. But they eventually began to be deceived, trying to overthrow the present ministry in the Lord's recovery. That happened in the late 70s, that happened in the late 80s. I saw personally, I'm not talking about those co-workers who took the lead to rebel. That's another category. I'm talking about those who were deceived by them, the younger ones. I saw a whole batch, a whole layer of promising brothers in Anaheim, knocked out and left the recovery on a very high horse, saying things that they have no place to say against the ministry. Because they were deceived, they were poisoned. On the other hand, if there's not that hook, you know what I mean, within them, that pride and ambition within them, that might not have happened. But they were hooked. They were like a crop going on quite well, a crop which gave much expectation to the farmers. You know, the farmers, they farm when they see a promising crop. It just gave them great anticipation. It's a joy. It was, I tell you, I know Brother Lee in this regard, and I learned from him. And that is to treasure the young ones. The promising young brothers. That's Brother Lee. He treasured them. He poured himself into them. He's filled with expectation. It's almost like it's their pride and joy, their crown of glory. At the same time, he saw those very same ones that he personally raised up and perfected turn, in my words, to bite the hand that fed them. You don't know how much heartbreak Brother Lee suffered in this matter over the years. But a hailstorm came suddenly to damage the crop. Once the crop gets damaged in this way, there's no way to recover it. Usually, these kind of things like pride and ambition are exposed during a turmoil. When there's no turmoil, like you're good, I'm good, we all look quite good. When the turmoil comes, that means the examination, the exam comes. And many failed that test under those circumstances. And we've seen time again a whole crop ruined, haven't we, brothers? A whole generation ruined. A whole age layer gone. And if they were around today, you know, if we didn't have those turmoil, I would say today we would have, we almost had 300 here. We have 1,000 here or more. 2,000 here. But the Lord knows, because these turmoils are necessary for purification. It's just the way it is. May we not, none of us sitting in this room, become a casualty or fail to pass the test when a storm hit again. Pride is a big killer used by Satan. Today, a young brother may be very humble and obedient because he's learning, right? Of course. But we do not have the assurance that he will be the same after 7 or 10 years. Brother Lee chooses even his years very carefully, 7 or 10 years. That means this will bring them to their 40s, which is what we're going to get into in Romans 3. So, brothers, if you're in your 30s, 20s, 30s, it's wonderful that you're here. It's wonderful that you're learning. But beware of pride. It may kill you. Satan may not take advantage of a young one while he's learning, but after a number of years, when this brother is just entering into the years of being useful in the hands of the Lord, that is in the 40s, Satan will seek to take them him as prey through his pride. You know, the enemy is like a roaring lion seeking those that he can devour. But if you have pride, you make yourself vulnerable, devourable by this lion. I'm trying to make all of us porcupines so they will leave you alone, the lion. They will spit you out, you know, because you're a porcupine. You're too sticky for him. And I speak this also from my own experience. Don't think I have no pride. You know, in the late 70s, that debacle, we all got exposed. There's a lot of dirt, a lot of uncleanness, a lot of these things within us. Not only pride, even a sort of a rebelliousness within our fallen being. And thank the Lord that was arrested, that was exposed. I wouldn't say that was cured, but at least that was examined and that was medicated. We got rescued. But some didn't. Some didn't. Satan is behind, brothers. Let me tell you, Satan is behind this. Is behind pride. Two, the young people should be impressed that the enemy is crouching. I mentioned this, waiting for the opportunity to take them as his prey. He is there to destroy you. Not only to destroy you, listen to me, almost something even more serious, to destroy your usefulness. Now that has to do with not just your destiny, but God's interest. To me, that is more serious than just you being, so to speak, ruined. Your usefulness to the Lord's recovery in the Lord's hands being annulled, that to me is the most serious thing. So young brothers, pay attention to this. Don't let that happen to you. You have to be on guard. You have to garrison yourself against this killer, this enemy. It's good to have regular checkup. Yeah, it really is good. Okay, now we come to those in the 40s. Well, Is it 40s? That's not a definite thing, but maybe 40s and 50s. I just mentioned 20s and 30s. Now I come to 40s and 50s. All right. There's a problem of the thought of being a hero with the middle age ones. 40s, 50s, middle age. Of the thought of being a hero. By the way, all the heroes left. And that is a salvation. On the other hand, that is a loss. You look at it in another way, it's a loss. If that brother would have been just been proper, how much more the Lord can do in the recovery? We can say that. Hey, there's also a problem with the middle-aged ones, the middle-aged brothers, after staying in the Lord's recovery about 18 or to 20 years, right? That will bring you to 40s and 50s, may consider themselves as heroes in the recovery. They may be thankful to the Lord for his ministry by which they have been nourished, educated, perfected, and equipped. Now they have the attitude that they know something and can do something, obviously. Because you don't know anything, you could do anything. You can be a self-proclaimed hero. No one will follow you. They feel the recovery cannot be short of them. Aha! Aha! The time has come. The recovery has a need. And as far as I can see, no one can fill this need except me. I got a ministry now. I learned this and that now. I have a particular expertise in this and that now. It's now for me to help and supply the recovery. Now, all this sounds good, right? And in some ways, brotherly, expect that. But it depends. It depends. The thought of the recovery cannot be short of you. It's a very risky thought. Very dangerous thought. I always like to say every member in the Lord's body is both indispensable and dispensable at the same time. Indispensable because according to 1 Corinthians 15, every member is needed, even the smallest one. Brother Lee said, even the pinky. That's the indispensable part. On the other hand, brothers, you and I are all dispensable. Don't harbor the thought that the recovery cannot go on without you. There's an element of conceit there to think that way. I mentioned, didn't I, in Gold Coast, deceit and conceit. One is without, one is within. And both can damage us. Because Brother Lee passed through the Lord's recovery as a young and middle-aged person, he understood these problems. He was a patient himself. Although Brother Lee was only 2 years older, Brother Lee's relationship with him was just like a son and a father. After 10 years of being with Brother Lee, he learned a lot. After Brother Lee had been somewhat perfected and equipped, he became very sick. This is 1941, 42, and 43. He was bedridden. The time when he should have been a real hero, he was confined to bed in Qingdao, that northern port, famous port of China, where he convalesced and recuperated after his time in the Japanese military prison camp. Uh, The sickness was actually the mercy of the Lord. This is Brother Lee's own testimony. During that sickness of 2.5 years, Brother Lee saw the tree of life. He saw the revelation of the tree of life, and that became the hallmark of his ministry until he died. This line of life in the Word. The lesson we must learn with the middle-aged brothers is their thinking that they may be the hero. They think that they may be somebody in the recovery and that the young ones should listen to them. If we think this way, sooner or later a day will come when the crouching enemy will take us as his prey. Then we're finished. May the Lord deliver us out of that snare. Of course, I would like to say this, that one of the greatest protection is not just a warning word like this. One of the greatest salvation eventually is the body, is the coordination, is to serve with the brothers. That is a great protection. So, 40 and 50-something brothers, this is a word for you. Now we come to the 60 and 70-something. There's a problem of opinions with the old ones. The problem with those in their old age is opinions. An old brother feels that he has the experience, and they do. The experience apparently gave them the right to opine. He has passed through the problems of the young and middle-aged brothers. Now he has learned a lot. If someone wants to act, listen, he will say not to because of his experience. Now they have some other younger ones rising up and they say, no, you don't have the experience. You make mistakes. His opinions hinder the work. Now, this is, I highlighted this. This old person's opinions, from a good heart, hinder the work. And that has happened, brothers. That has happened. Now, to be the sin of presumption, that means to go ahead of the Lord, is wrong, is bad. But to delay and hinder the Lord, have we thought about how bad that is? To delay the Lord's move just because you have a certain opinion? The older ones can hinder the going on of a church because of their opinions. To illustrate, Brother Lee related something of our history. This is just a story there. Interesting story. In 1950, after bringing a revival in Hong Kong, Brother Lee asked him to come to help. Asked him, meaning asked Brother Lee. He assigned Brother Lee to make full arrangements for all service concerning the co-workers, the elders, and the deacons there. Later, a small group was formed to take care of the purchase of some land for the building of a hall. Anyone have been to Hong Kong? The first meeting hall that is talked about here is in the street called Observatory Street. It's still there. Very tiny piece of land. With a hall, with a balcony, second level. By American standards, it's not big, but in those days, it's a pretty sizable hall. And I've been there, I met there. My first message hearing Brother Lee was there as a kid, as a teenager. That's the site he was talking about. So a group was formed to take care of the purchase of land for the hall, that hall, Hall 1. Brother Nee took the opportunity in his wisdom to tell this group, concerning the purchase of the land and the building of the hall, you have to listen to whatever Brother Lee says. This older brother was full of experiences. There was an older brother in Hong Kong. These experiences had become his opinions. They were begging Brother Lee for permission to buy only 1 acre of land. Begging Brother Lee. Don't get two. Too expensive. Too much. Brother Lee had told them previously to buy 2 acres of land, but they thought this might be too much. They still decided to purchase only 1 acre. After they made the plans for the hall, they found out that 1 acre was insufficient. Almost the moment they, so to speak, closed escrow, they regret it. But it's already too late. Too small. They found out there was 1 acre was insufficient. They did everything they could, but they were only able to get a little bit more property. This illustrates how the Lord's work can suffer because of opinion. That is just one small case from more than half a century ago. Brothers, reflect a little bit. Consider the older ones, us older ones. Have we done things to hinder or delay the Lord likewise? You know, the more experienced you are, the more conservative you become. Isn't this human nature? Because you made the mistake and you don't want to see that mistake made, so you become quite conservative. And so these young ones want to do so many things. You say, no, 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 you rock the boat. You upset the apple cart. Things are quite all right. Just leave it the way they are. We still have this strong burden, and I'm going to say something this afternoon, of the 15%. I hope you have not forgotten. Because of this training, we forgot 15%. 15% as a most reasonable and doable and achievable rate of increase per year. We start talking about this last spring, late spring. You have only 6 more months. You have only 6 more months. It's already 6 months. What have you done? I'm a businessman. If we set a goal, let's hold ourselves to it. Otherwise, why set goals? And I said it was very easy. A church of 100 needs to gain 15, right? In a year. I think I said that. And if that group, a church of 100, have 10 small groups, each small group have 10. Each small group just need to bring in 1.5 persons, and you have 15. See, when you break it down like this, it's easy. I would even say it's easy. Not only reasonable, it's easy. But our history, historically, we have not even achieved that or close to that. Well, there were many reasons, I know that. But I think one reason is because we're so conservative, so slow, so not letting the things happen. Because of mistakes, because of this, because of that. Of course, there are other reasons. One accord, many other things. But in context of this message, are we for the 15%? Yes or no? Are you doing something about it? You say, well, we're still in the elders' training. I'm waiting for this training to end before I start. What? What? No, that's wrong. While you're in this training, you should be enterprising. You should be laboring in your church. You know, we have that prayer card, right? This point, that point, 10 points, this, 10 point, that. You say, I'm still waiting for you to talk about that. Well, I've talked about it already. You should start enterprising. Of course, starting next year, brothers, we'll expand the training to include sisters, core saints. Next year, we're going to step on the gas pedal. No waiting. Are you ready for that? Or are you still waiting to be trained one more year? This is on-the-job training. This is not an academic training. So, as we are culminating this training, I'm already getting ready to be the hard man, you know, the bad man. To come around and see what's going on. We need more training, of course, we need more training. But my point is, brothers, let's have less opinions. In this sense, let's have more action. Not in a fleshly way, you know what I mean, not in a, you know, movement way. I'm not for that. Of course I'm not for that. Or in a kind of campaign way. But I tell you, brothers, we need more action. We need more activities. We need more vitality. Vital means what? Living and active. The churches in Northern California is by and large ready. We're ready. We can be more ready, but we're ready. Amen?
Amen.
We need to let the saints go. We need to fire up the saints. We need to be burning in spirit to bring in this renewal, this revival. But brothers, this requires us to give the Lord the ground, give the Lord the way, and not limit him by our opinions. Okay, last point. In the recovery, we have been suffering from 1922 up to now because of these three things: the pride of the younger ones, the thought of being a hero of the middle-aged ones, and the opinions of the older ones. Everything may be all right with us now, but these problems are within us. All of us need to be warned. If we are younger ones, we should be warned of pride. If we are in middle age, we should learn to be nothing. That's from hero to zero. Huh? Learn to be nothing. We should not wear a mask in the eldership. When we're older, we should remember that the problem with older people is opinion. My middle age class, any one of you been into middle age, you've been in my class? Middle age training, one brother, two. Actually, I like to highly recommend many of you to go to the middle age training. Then you can be at least in my class. And in that class, I use the book Perfecting Training, where Brother Lee spent page after page on this problem, this worm, this gopher, this killer, all those words he used, called opinion. That we are all embodiment of opinion. And how much opinion frustrated the Lord in our growth in life, in our function, in our being built up together. Well, anyway, if you want to get into that, read Perfecting Training, the first chapters in that book. See, if you have one of these three problems, pride, the thought of being a hero, or opinions, in practicality, the body is absent in your locality. That's a very, very strong statement. Very striking. So, brothers, this is it. This morning, the speaking is not long. I still feel we need more prayer. Maybe not much to testify, but what do you think? Unless you have something to share. But more prayer. How about we just continue our prayer at the end of the last message? Brothers, many of you should stand up and pray. Don't be silent. Pray on our behalf. Okay? Just 5 minutes and then we can stop. Amen.